And then also I get the pleasure of introducing my friend, Crystal, who's from Family Promise. I'm going to read her official bio on the website for you. Crystal loves to find the joy in the messy and muddy areas of life. And these are things that I can attest to as well. So I've seen it in action. She is dedicated to improving this crazy world we share for the betterment of all. She has a BA in psychology from Ottawa University, Kansas, and a Master in Divinity from St. Paul School of Theology in Kansas City, Missouri. Much of Crystal's career has been rooted in the issues of domestic violence and child abuse. Crystal preaches on the side, which we get to witness today, and is approved for ordination in the United Church of Christ. Crystal, a.k.a. Yeti, is a proud member of Pikes Peak Roller Derby Dames. She's obsessed with skating, tattoos, and Colorado hot springs. And I get the pleasure of working with Crystal every day at Family Promise, and her heart is pure and filled with love for the families that we serve and the people that we serve with. So I'd like to introduce Crystal Carr.
Thank you, Cindy. It's really our pleasure at Family Promise to get to work with Cindy every day. And I will have to tell you that I don't think anybody's ever referred to me as pure in any way, shape, or form before. So that's a new one. Thank you for having me here. It is really a privilege and honor. And just a little nervous. It's been over 2 years now. It's crazy to think about this pandemic that I've been able to offer a sermon. And it was really nice during the call to worship when, because I was like, oh, Jacob gave the message. I'm all good. This is just fluff. He said everything already. So thank you. And thank you for allowing me to be here with you this morning. So one of the things that was shared with me is that you guys have been really focused on your mission and kind of learning about that and digging in deep. And so that's kind of my understanding of how I got invited here today, because one of the beautiful ways that you live out your mission is through Family Promise or with Family Promise. And it is a beautiful gift that you give. And you do it in so many ways. And I want to kind of share with you some of those reasons why I think that's so very important, and why we appreciate all the work that you give so much. So Family Promise, in case you don't know, is we work with families who are experiencing housing instability and homelessness. We have three programs. We have the Heart and Home program, which helps families with children under the age of 18 that are struggling to get by. And as you are more than well aware with this COVID pandemic, that a lot of families are barely just hanging on and trying to stay in their homes. And even with the eviction moratorium, it's super stressful and really difficult. And so we've been able to provide some housing stability. And it's not just writing a check. I will say this is what makes Family Promise very different. We don't just write a check and go, all right, good luck. We commit to them a minimum of 3 months. Lots of times we find that we become our people's people. So that, for example, I had worked with a gentleman this last fall that we helped him when his work was shutting down and needed to stay housed. And so we provide case management. We talk with them about, you know, what's going on with you? What are your goals? What does your family need? Because it's not the same for everybody. So we really have to do individualistic solutions for families. And it's a lot of brainstorming and talking and walking with people and helping them to find their answers, not us coming in getting to be, you know, the saviors of the situations. But so I'd worked with this gentleman for several months, and then he called again probably about 3 weeks ago. And I was like, oh man, I can't help him anymore because we've exhausted, you know, what we were able to do for him. And he said, actually, no, I'm not calling for myself. I'm calling because we're going through the work thing again, and I want to help the rest of my staff with other things that they can do. So he was just calling back for information. And so I think that's one of the beautiful things that happens at Family Promise, is we build these relationships with families, and they see that they can trust us. And so we also have families. Last year we had a family that came back. They had been with us for about 4 months. They came back last summer with a $2,500 check. I about broke down because they wanted to give back. They wanted to pay it forward. And those are moments that, you know, when you're just writing a check or you're just in that for the moment, you don't get that, because it's about the relationships. It's about the communal aspect of, this is what we are doing together. And you guys are a major part of that. I'm looking at Barb here, and every time I see Barb, I think of the gifts that the quilting group give. Families that are experiencing homelessness, as well as individuals that are experiencing homelessness, often feel ashamed. They often have been kicked around by the world in some really mean and ugly ways. And for families with children, that's especially so, because for them to have enough courage to reach out and to ask for help, they're worried that somebody's going to come and take their children from them, because they know that my kiddo doesn't have a safe place to sleep. I can't cook them a warm meal on a cold day. And they're not always clean when they go to school. And those are all the kind of things that can get children removed from families. I will say, in the state of Colorado, we are really lucky, because being homeless does not automatically remove your children from your care. There are other places where that is the case, but that is not the case here. But families are still terrified, because they feel like failures as parents. They're charged with taking care of their children. There is just so much shame and grief and trauma wrapped up in the experience. And so when they come to Family Promise and they are greeted with smiles, they are greeted with, well, how can we help you? There is no wagging of a finger. There is no, well, what happened? What did you do that landed you in this place? We try our very best to greet everyone with love, care, and dignity, because we understand the courage that it calls upon them to come forward. And so every time, I'm still linking it back to Barb, just taking me a while. Every time we have a family that moves from shelter into stable housing, like, it's a positive move. They get these beautiful quilts that Barb and her group have lovingly made. And even though nobody has said, you know, this was made out of faith and love and goodness and all of those things, I fully believe that all of that love and the prayers and everything that goes into those blankets, when those kiddos or those parents wrap it around them on a cold night, they feel all of that. They feel that somebody has said, we value you. You are worthy and you are loved. And that is a gift that they don't get from the rest of the world. That is the gift that they get because of you and all of you who support that mission. And when you bring food for the families that is home cooked at the IHN shelter, it is the same thing. It is an offering and a gift of love. And we don't always have to say, I'm doing this because God has placed this on my heart. We live in a world where, you know, if you wear the label of Christian real loud, I don't like to do that anymore, if I'm being really honest, because I associate a lot of negative things. I associate being really judgmental and kind of ugly and not always caring, which makes me sad to say that out loud, but it's true. And then I get to come in here And this morning, your hymns are about welcoming all, that this is a place of love for all, that you have welcomed me as a close friend and caring for the neighbors that are coming from Afghanistan who've been traumatized. That is what it means to be Christian. That is what it means to share the love and grace of God. Because as Pastor Jacob said, it's not just about what happens to me on the other side. It's about us and this world, because God cares so much about all of it, not just some of it. So I'm going to use that to get back into a little bit of the scripture this morning. Because when I think of Family Promise, the thing I love most is that we have congregations. We are not a faith-based provider, but we absolutely rely on the faith communities to come along and support us and support our families. And so it's a beautiful thing that happens, because we have congregations and people who volunteer for us who I'm pretty sure couldn't sit down and have a good, respectable theology debate. It would probably get a little ugly if we did that. But instead of using our words, you use your hands and your feet and your hearts to do the actions of what Jesus did in the midst. We're not doing exorcisms too often, but I do some cleansings when people tell me that they have ghosts in their rooms. I will go down and they will let me pray with them. And, you know, I pray with them in their room sometimes. So that's kind of fun. But it's the closest thing to exorcism I've experienced in this world. But we all know that Jesus did the healing. And we do a different kind of healing. We don't do hands on, you know, we don't lay of hands or spit on our fingers and rub it in the mud and put it on somebody's eyes to heal them. But we do a lot of healing of the hearts, just like you do when you come alongside us. And so this morning's scripture is one of my favorite stories. There's lots of those, though, so that's not saying a whole lot. But it's a great story because it's a good reminder. Because it reminds us that sometimes we get lost in who's inside and who's outside. And in this story, before that, because sometimes we can all pluck a verse out of the Bible and use it to hit other people over the head with, and that's not a very kind or loving thing to do. So I always like to put things in context. So this verse comes up after the transfiguration, after everybody has watched and witnessed, not everybody, but some of the disciples have seen Jesus glow, and they see that, oh my gosh, this is really the Christ. This is truly the one that God has sent for our world. And so they see all of this power. And then a little bit on that journey is also when Jesus hears the disciples arguing, again, you know, kind of chittering against each other of who's going to sit at his right side and who's going to do that. And so it's kind of, that's been in the background of this scripture verse. And so he's kind of like, so what's going on now? And they're like, well, there's this guy down the road, and he is prophesizing and exorcising demons, but he's not one of us. And the thing I love about Mark is you always see Jesus rolling his eyes. Because Mark is always, people are doing dumb stuff. And I relate to that. I do a lot of dumb stuff. So I know Jesus rolls his eyes at me a lot, I'm sure. And so Jesus is like, come on, you guys. Look, if he's using my name and saying I'm doing this in the name of Christ, then he's not going to say bad things about me or about us. So let him be. He's doing good work. So it's kind of like us. You know, you're like, oh, well, that other church, I don't really like that church, that congregation, but they're doing good work with Family Promise, so we'll let that happen. You know, we'll let that happen. We can be inclusive when we're all doing the good things. It doesn't matter if we're of one mind, because we're of this one heart. We are of this one spirit that God has blessed us with. You know, it used to be, well, not used to, it still is. We see this in our world today. People use the insiders and outsiders to feel safe. Because if you have your small little group of people that you're like, they're the ones, these are it, these are my people, they're going to keep me safe, I can trust them. But I don't know about those other people over there. It's a little scary. And we see that now as well in our communities of being so divided and not able to come along together. But Jesus is reminding us here in this scripture that, you know, when we're doing this work, it is this work that matters. It is the heart and the spirit of this work that we do together for the healing of others. It's not about us. It's about taking care of our community and taking care of the people that surround us and are the others. And when I was in seminary, I had a professor that said, if it's repeated, it must be important. And so this is a story that's repeated. We can go back to the Old Testament. The story goes back to Moses, when Moses had gathered his people together and he said, God is giving us a spirit of prophecy. We are to prophesy and to take care of one another. And there were two guys who didn't show up to the meeting. And their names were Eldad and Medad. And my biblical names are terrible, so I probably goofed it up. But Eldad and Medad skipped the meeting. They didn't show up. But some of the guys who saw the meeting saw them back in town, and they were prophesying. And they went back to Moses doing the same thing. Like, dude, they weren't there. They didn't get the spirit like we did. And Moses' response was, how great would it be if we all prophesied? How awesome would that be? Don't try and stop them. They're doing good work. We should all be doing good work. And so that's, you know, way back before Jesus. And then Luke shares a similar story as well of this isn't about who's in and who's out. This is about bringing it to everyone. This is about bringing it to the largest community, to the world, for the healing of the hearts and the minds of the world. And as much as I would like to believe at Family Promise, we are going to just heal the homelessness problem and make housing stability a real thing in Colorado Springs and the rest of the world, I know it doesn't work like that. I'm not even sure that I wish it did. I think there's something more powerful and valuable in us coming together as people who, whether we say that it's in the spirit of God or not, because Cindy will tell you I don't talk about God at work, and I get a little irritated when people bring it up all the time, just because I'm like, we are not a religious affiliated organization. And there is safety for some of our people that come to us that we're not religiously affiliated because they have some of those negative things that they think about what it means if they show up somewhere. For example, this spring we had a mom come in, and I like to say we take family, whoever you tell us your family is. And so when we do an intake at the New Promise Family Shelter, which is low barrier, so it means we're not asking you what happened yesterday. We're not asking, we're not doing background checks because we have some things in place to keep families safe and keep them in their own little bubble a little bit. They have their own private room. And so it's, we get to be a little more flexible versus when we're sending people into faith congregations to sleep and want to make sure that you guys stay with us so nobody's trashing your home. But so we ask families when they come in, who is in your family? If you could get housing tomorrow, who would be in your home? And then whoever that is, that's who we serve as the family unit. So we had a mom and two wonderful little kids come in. And she was like, yeah, it's just me and my two kids. That's it. And they came, they stayed with us. And a couple months later, this mom came in and said, hey, Crystal, can I talk to you for a minute? I need to share something with you. I'm like, okay, let's go. And so we went into an office, and she said, I was too scared to tell you who my family was when I came, because we've had experiences in other places where it wasn't okay. But I have a wife, and we've been married for 3 years, but she's been living on the streets while we've been here. And my kids really miss her. And we see her every day, but we have to leave her. And I'm worried that, because one of the rules is that families, adults, always have to have line of sight with their kiddos, because we don't do background checks. And even if we did, not everybody who takes advantage of children have anything on their background checked. Most don't. And so we want to encourage that you have to be careful of who you are letting your kids spend time with. And so they have to be in line of sight. And she goes, I'm so scared that he's going to see my partner walking across and run after her. Is there any way we could bring her in? And I was like, yes. I'm sorry for the pain that you didn't know you could trust us. That it took a couple of months for you to see that you could have your whole family together here. Because the thing about Family Promise is we know that families thrive when they're able to be together. When I've gone through the darkest moments in my life, I needed and wanted my people around me. Our families do too. And the reality is, at other shelters, it's not malicious. It's about serving as many people as they can get in. And so you go in, and there is the men's side, and there's the women's side, and the women's side has the children's with them. And with us, in all of our programs, mom and dad, or mom and mom, or grandma and grandkid, or, you know, whatever their family looks like, they stay together. And we work with them together as a family unit, because we know that's how they're going to thrive. We know that's their best bet on breaking out of the viciousness of homelessness and housing instability. And so that's what we're able to do, and we're only able to do this because you come alongside with us and walk with us and walk with our families. You come along and say, with this gift, you are worthy and you are valued and you are loved. There are people in the world who care. It is this transformational hope, like the shalom that Jacob spoke about. It is not a pie in the sky hope, one day everything's going to be okay. It is real. It is tangible. It comes alongside them and alongside you and me, and so we do this work together for the transformation of this family, that gives them strength and courage that sometimes they have forgotten that they ever had it in the first place. It renews them to move forward, to get that better job that's going to pay more, to look at their finances and their family and go, okay, we're going to get through this together. And we got some people who are going to talk us and brainstorm with us too. We're not in this alone. We are in this as a community. And for them, it may not be a community of faith, but that doesn't mean they're not getting that faith. It doesn't mean that they're not feeling the power of God, because I can't remember right now who said it, but one of my favorite little like quotes to live by is, preach the gospel, only use words when absolutely necessary. St. Francis, thank you. It's one of my favorites, and it's what we do at New Promise each and every day. Because I can't go there and tell people that I'm preaching the gospel, because that would get in trouble. But that is what we do. And we do it with you and other faith communities, and other faith communities that wouldn't call it the gospel because that doesn't relate to them. We are interfaith. That means we work with everyone, and it's beautiful, and it's communal, and it is that experience of transformational hope. And I would argue that it is an experience of shalom in the day-to-day world. And sometimes it looks like a kid giggling while they race their little brother on a bike in the middle of the shelter. Sometimes it looks like, you know, somebody having an argument in the kitchen because, you know, they saw that food and they saw that food, but they wanted, you know, the other. It's messy. It's beautiful. It is our life. And thank you for choosing us to be partners in fulfilling your mission. May I offer a prayer?